There are other networks, Aspen Network of Development Entrepreneurs, brought together, 110 organizations in India, giving exposure to Indian organizations internationally, vice versa, National Entrepreneurship Network. All of these go to boost your morale because you look around you and you see people who are risk takers, who are leaders in their segment, in terms of being the first persons who thought about something, innovative. You see, you learn from their struggles, and it's not just that you see them once they've become successful and you don't know about the hurdles and struggles they faced, how they went about combating those. So these are a very important part of a social entrepreneur's journey, where especially he or she is operating in a segment which is far newer, nascent than your traditional segment. So for example, let's talk about when we're talking about the future of social entrepreneurship, we cannot ignore the African continent. And Africa is a nation where a lot of the trajectory of growth is going to be very significant when it comes to social enterprises. In fact, the African Union has adopted the 10-year strategy for their commitment to social enterprises. The Union Bank of Nigeria, together with the Ford Foundation and through the LEAP initiative, is supporting more than 250 social enterprises. So when we look at the growth, we have to look at the growth across the world. For agricultural communities, etc., there may be ideas which could be work across similar climatic regions, etc. Cultural differences, of course, are there, but there could be so many technological aspects, so many other aspects which could benefit people across geographies. So, for example, the social enterprise Teen Geeks in Africa is using technology to educate the youth and to train the youth to participate in agriculture and to increase productivity of the agriculture in agricultural output in Africa, where already hunger is so prevalent. There is such a large landmass of yet uncultivated land. Using technology and enabling youth to the future generation of entrepreneurs to get involved in enterprise, to get involved in agriculture, to use technology for a noble social cause, for their own upliftment, gives you an idea of how much brainstorming is happening in Africa for developing and nurturing social enterprise. And these are some of the trends to look out for going forward in the in your landscape of social enterprise. Of course, across the world and in India, you have your sharing of resources which are happening in the social enterprise space. In one of the earlier chapters, I had spoken about how, from a costing point of view, from a learning point of view, shared spaces, shared resources can really help, especially in the nascent stages, to give wings to social enterprises, because they reduce the resource requirement for social enterprises. So various avenues exist, right, from, Jaga, Alpha Labs, etc., Bombay Connect. So many of these, the other day I was reading about a co-working space, networking space for women in Mumbai, by invitation, where you can go and interact with other women and also work from those co-working spaces. And they are maintaining certain exclusivity, and you are permitted to, you can join only after excessive vetting. It's not like you can just pay and join and get access to that space. So a lot of these trends are there which can help to nurture your nurture social entrepreneurship and give you a conducive environment to learn from others, interact with others in an informed manner. A lot of the awards that are there, you have your Tata Social Enterprise Challenge, Swab Foundation Awards, various other awards, which invite a lot of ideas, a lot of good ideas. Obviously, out of the multitudes of ideas, only 2-3 will win. Not too many will win, but a lot of them may be getting, despite not winning, may be getting access, network. Maybe you didn't win this time, but we know you for future. You know, maybe work on these. They may get feedback to work on certain other elements during that whole process. They may come across people who like them and support them, even if they didn't win the final title or award. For example, when we see Shark Tank, we see a lot of pitches and ideas coming to Shark Tank. Not all of them end up getting funding from the sharks, but a lot of them are good ideas where even if the sharks didn't buy into those ideas, there are other people who see these ideas on TV and you know, reach out to them and support them. And a lot of them end up, even though they didn't get buy-in from the sharks, they end up becoming very successful businesses because they participated in the Shark Tank challenge to begin with. So, you know, just participation, winning, of course, is fantastic, but simply the process of participation gives you a platform to interact, grow your network, give visibility to your cause, observe what you could improve on. You know, maybe someone else is there who really likes your idea, you know, and supports you, who is not necessarily on the jury deciding whether you, you know, win the award or not, but at the same time is involved in some other capacity and buys into you. So the future is absolutely full of potential. In India, we have a very vibrant workforce. We have a lot of success stories to inspire the youth, inspire people in India, inspire people externally. There is a lot of learning we can do from enterprises in other parts of the world. So the potential is limitless. When we are talking about potential, we have to also keep in mind to be cautious when it comes to social enterprise. Now, we are aware of scams. We know we get these stupid calls on our phones, you know, where they're already alerted as spam. Someone is, you know, raising money. Someone is reaching out for something or the other. So this is at a very micro level. But just to give you an idea how alertness is required, even at a more organized enterprise level, so that you are not falling prey to social enterprise, which is not genuinely social enterprise or is misplaced or misleading. I'll give you a few examples which hold a lot of relevance for people who are interested in becoming stakeholders or especially donating or funding social enterprises. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which is itself such a large brand to reckon with, they also had to put out a formal warning that there were a lot of entities who were impersonating the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and to be alert before investing with these fraudulent entities. So it's important that when you are approached for, if you're approached for donations, if you're approached for funding at an individual level, at an organizational level, please vet the entity who is approaching you. Research them, not just on websites, because there are entities who have been known, there are frauds which clone well-known websites, create similar websites, similar looking URLs. So those could be misleading. So not only do your web searches, etc., but also check them out on third-party sites in some cases where possible, try to do a physical visit to their office, their area of operation, get more information on them instead of falling, victim to fraud, because we have to, people can be highly unethical, and whereas people want to contribute to something good, the unscrupulous people can tap into this social consciousness and draw out money, appealing to your emotions and your empathy, and misuse the funds. So to give you an example, in Arizona, in the US, there was an adoption law firm, which was specifically allowing members of the community to adopt from women in a certain region who were legally putting up their children for adoption. Eventually, the person who was running this was arrested because he was misleading the community. The women who were putting up these children for babies for adoption were not from the demographic which had been indicated, region which had been indicated, and there were some other elements of trafficking, etc., that may have been involved. There were also claims later and reports allegedly that this entity was involved in money laundering and in other unscrupulous agendas. So it's important that you don't end up deploying your funds behind something which is a front for something darker. You do your research. If you have seen that movie which came out about 15-20 years ago, Page 3 by Madhur Bhandarkar, then it has a very dark segment where children from community homes like orphanages are being abused by people from the privileged segments, and few and far, we hope that doesn't happen, but we do know realistically, and from time to time we read in the press that exploitation of this nature has happened time and again with at-risk communities, with people in these vulnerable communities. So it's important that when you support people with the right credentials. Another example is the Inside Success Union organization, which employed youth vendors to sell magazines and positioned itself as a charity. Now, the regulator pulled them up because there were several complaints, because these youth vendors would mislead people, members of the public, by claiming that ISU was a charity when it was not registered as a charity. They would get very aggressive and accost members of the public in public places to pressurize them to buy, to donate. They would block them from entering shops, establishments, which can be a very intimidating experience, and basically, hoping that people just pay them to go away. And that is a very, very aggressive thing which can really put off people, and not only put off people, give a very bad message, a very destructive message about the enterprise. There are times when someone reaches out to you about a social enterprise or some sort of charitable activity, and the minute they sense that you have an empathetic cell in you, they get very aggressive and start emotionally winding you up, and really put you off in terms of this hard sell. So it can give a very leave a very bad taste for the sector at large. Now, here there were also complaints that when the members of the public asked these youth vendors that please show us your registration number, your credentials, those were not available. So when social enterprises are reaching out for funds, reaching out for support, they should represent themselves, their entities legitimately, have their credentials in place, so that others can know that they are dealing with the legitimate entity, with an entity which has the proper licenses, the proper permissions to carry out what they are carrying out. So there are various forms in which one has to be on the lookout when you are investing in a social enterprise, when you are funding it. In terms of an entrepreneurial spirit, awareness about social enterprises, more and more schools, universities, etc., should inculcate this mindset, introduce young people to concepts of social enterprise and social impact more regularly on an ongoing basis, so that it is something that they can independently evaluate, get, you know, if they lean towards it, then be working on it, thinking about it at a much earlier stage, and bring it, include it as part of regular education in some way or the other. Now you also have networking platforms like the Samhita Social Ventures, which has contests, which has provides networking opportunities. So there are a lot of avenues to become aware, and these avenues also help you to vet or verify whether the entity that you are dealing with is legitimate or not. These are really, really useful ways that you can consider giving life to your own social enterprise innovative idea if you have one. Now, in terms of the landscape in India, we have a rural-urban divide where more than 67% of our population still lives in rural India. So there is a massive capacity grow and to have an impact on the communities. Whether it is like a venture like Tellmate, which is working on this innovative solution, these wearable glasses for the visually impaired people to use to create certain kinds of models where information absorption can information can reach these visually impaired people in terms of obstructions, in terms of reading beyond just Braille, etc. Using technology to create other forms of information to provide the visually impaired through these innovative wearable glasses kind of product. Now this enterprise now is currently under the pilot project is under testing with 600 visually impaired people through Blind Association in Ahmedabad. So when developing something so path breaking, while we are talking about nurturing a social enterprise, pushing constantly working on it, be aware that yes, your prototype, your pilot becomes all important. And if you go to, once you have that testing data, once you have the results of that, and then you approach a larger entity to invest in you, to invest in you and to, support you financially or in terms of mentorship, then you will be better positioned to scale up your effort. So let's look at another venture where, industry, which is using let's look at another venture industry, which is using, the concept philosophy of six C's to connect producers to the market. And these six C's are capacity, capital, creation, construction, connection, and channeling. So, going through these various ways and then directly connecting producers to the marketplace creates a lot of sense of ownership, gives a lot of flexibility to the producers, gives a lot of eliminates exploitative middlemen, empowers a lot of the producer community, especially in the disadvantaged segments. Now, clearly, industry And when I'm saying industry, it is industry, industry in that sense. So not industry with a Y. So industry is idea to empower these producers in terms of the direct access to the markets has received a very positive response. And clearly that is why it has received support from organizations like Mindtree, organizations like MasterCard, who have chosen to collaborate with this venture. Likewise, organizations which are omnipresent in the Indian culture, among the Indian consumers, whether you are a lower bottom of the pyramid, middle class, upper middle class, organizations like the Tata Group and TCS, which, you know, from a technology point of view is also omnipresent in a lot of ways for us. Organizations like TCS constantly innovating and contributing to the economy and to the people who can benefit. So, for example, one of their social enterprises has been M-Krish, which is in response to challenges in the fisheries farming, in the fisheries segment. Now, what was observed was that there was a lot of loss of time in terms of fishing and identifying the potential zones with the highest catch potential. So there was loss of fuel, there was loss of time, all of that. And when they started using technology to develop this app, M-Krish, which analyzes potential fishing zones with the highest concentration of fisheries, which analyzes wind speed, etc., then the people who benefited from this, the segment of fishermen who benefited from it, ended up increasing their catch many, many fold. And at the same time, there was a huge amount of cost saving in terms of fuel, because you were not wasting time and you had a much more accurate idea of what are the zones in which you should go and fish. Now, for something like this, obviously support was, TCS itself is a technologically, superior company, evolved company, but there was a lot of expertise required in terms of ocean information systems, in terms of various other expertise from other research institutes, and TCS did tie up and get this assistance and collaborative help from Center for Ocean Information Systems and various other partners, providing it this expertise in that specific field. So you see how collaborations help. And now, giving TCS's example also is an inspiring example, because we are so familiar with TCS in so many elements of our life. So a lot of the people who possibly want to patronize social enterprise, who possibly want to fund social enterprises, if they hear about this venture and they hear about TCS endorsing a venture like this, then the confidence to support such ventures becomes very, very strong in them. And again, there is a clear demonstration. There was a social return on investment. M-Krish led to a 30% increase in catch, so much percentage reduction in percentage reduction in your fuel cost. Support came in, collaborations came in from Tata Teleservices, funding from the World Bank. So the participation, all of these things makes people realize that this is possible, innovation is possible versus being not possible. So a lot of drivers are the personal motivations in response to needs for society. So for example, Nyayika is a very interesting social enterprise, and they have, they are operating in a using a franchise model and a hybrid model which also involves the franchise model. What is Nyayika? As the name suggests, they provide guidance on legal matters to communities who would otherwise be very scared to go and address legal issues, whether it is in terms of benefits, disputes, etc. So Nyayika decided to target these communities which otherwise are very, very averse to taking legal recourse, going and getting their justice for what, you know, for their benefits, for the various other elements. So now they operate through a franchise model. There is strict vetting of training and vetting of people who are participating in these, who are operating in these franchises, and there is a lot of training, there is legal assistance, there is a lot of work which goes in so that the beneficiaries are not misguided and are handheld to make it easier for them to go and access their right and get justice and be the recipients of the true recipients of their rights. Now, it has received a lot of success because in the first year of operations itself, Nyayika had addressed and issued, handled more than 1,200 cases across several states for communities which in the past had never had any form of formal legal assistance and were pretty much at the mercy of people who may be exploitative, people who misguided them, and hence this skepticism and this distrust. So innovation and personal motivation can come in so many ways. You don't know how this idea originated. Sometimes you go and see an elderly person from a disadvantaged place running pillar to post with some documents he doesn't understand. No one is helping him out. There are so many, legal elements which are beyond him. It's in a language, the documents are in a language he doesn't understand. Documents, he may not know English. Various other elements, he's just being sent from one, office to the next. And, you don't know who observed what and this idea came up. But here you see that idea led to action and positive action where there is a social return of interest which has been measured and demonstrated. Likewise, you have of FIA, which brought banking to the unbanked. So, that segment of people who don't have bank accounts, in areas where banks, whether it's your public sector banks, various other banks, in areas where the banks don't have branches, idea of setting up these centers manned by micro credit managers, micro entrepreneurs to play a role between the bank and the unbanked and fill that gap. Now, this happened jointly with a tie-up with SBI, and it was very, very useful because eventually it ended up operating in more than 700 of the 770 districts. So it was very well received because there are so many people who are left out of the financial, who are not included in the financial movement. So reaching these last lot, of course, the initial, SBI being the first client of FIA, helped a lot, and what was being achieved what was being delivered in terms of the social return and measurable social return led to World Bank, grants from World Bank led to grants from various other entities, which could make this initiative even more scalable and reach more and more people and provide livelihood, because you are getting these micro entrepreneurs provide this livelihood because, you know, you are reaching the unbanked, and it's provided livelihood to more than 30,000 people, and is continuing to impact millions, like more than 50 million lives, continuing to scale up and bring about positive change. So there are a lot of drivers. Across drivers, we are seeing collaboration becomes very important. Even if it's a great idea, collaboration, here in this case, we saw with FIA, we saw collaboration between FIA and SBI, and then eventually World Bank came and became a stakeholder. So collaboration helps significantly, whether it is with technology partners, whether it is with various other stakeholders, which is an increasingly strong and foundation pillar element of social enterprise, and one of the stronger trends in terms of collaborations, because that is where your sustainability and your scalability comes in. So in terms of the Indian context, there is so much good which is happening across poverty alleviation, job creation, sanitation, health, education, agricultural benefits, that the potential to keep all of this growing is completely limitless. And hence, social enterprise is something which should be given even more focus at an individual level, at a corporate level, at a policymaker level, across various levels. So investment and growth in this sector is going to continue to help, keeping in mind credibility, keeping in mind the large segment of the population which can be impacted through these various innovations and enterprises. It is something which is a very ethical and noble activity to be engaged in, and can positively impact the lives of not just multitudes and hundreds of millions of people in the country, but also across the globe. Thank you.